Public radio is supposed to be broadcasting's designated kitsch-free zone, but only prigs loathe every bit of kitsch. It depends how you define it. There's kitsch as defined by Merriam-Webster, something that appeals to popular or lowbrow taste. According to that definition, I'm a kitsch aficionado. There are TV game shows I like, for instance, and I sometimes listen to Howard Stern. I like Burger King Double Whoppers with cheese and Las Vegas. There are even a few Led Zeppelin songs I sing along to. You need cooling, baby, I'm not fooling. But then there's kitsch as the American Heritage Dictionary defines it, sentimentality or pretentious bad taste, especially in the arts. This is where kitsch gets more problematic. Sure, next month I will try to watch both the Jerry Lewis Telethon and the Miss America pageant.
Miss America 2002 is Miss Oregon, Katie Harmon.
Both of those certainly qualify as kitsch. Sentimental, pretentious, bad taste. But they don't really pretend to be the arts. It's when kitsch tries to pass as serious art that I find it hard to enjoy or laugh off. Like Thomas Kincaid. Lately, I've developed something of an obsession with Thomas Kincaid. Thomas Kincaid is a painter, an artist, a successful and a bad artist. You may have seen his art at one of the hundreds of Thomas Kincaid galleries in shopping malls around the country. There are no fewer than 3 Kincaid galleries, for instance, just in the Omaha neighborhood where I grew up. His pictures are pretty much all the same. Overripe American landscapes and cozy old-fashioned American houses, all bathed in golden pre-dusk light. Every one is a glimpse of the same Reaganite Christian never-never land, depicted in the same way over and over and over again. They make Norman Rockwell look like an edgy avant-gardist. There have never been more treacly pictures of inanimate objects, and they're not even very skillfully painted. But every year, Kincaid sells $100 million worth of this stuff. Some of his customers have their reproductions customized by one of Kincaid's itinerant master highlighters. The highlighters brush on a few strokes of real paint, thus transforming an overpriced, mass-produced print into, quote, a unique work of art. Kincaid's corporate blurbs call him America's foremost living artist and the most commercially successful and collected living artist in U.S. history. But what really makes him appalling is how he pitches himself as a kind of Christian religious prophet. Kincaid's corporate website says the business is all about his message of peace, hope, the beauty of nature, and a simpler way of life. Spreading that message of a simpler way of life is why he's licensed his name to a gated development of $400,000 houses outside San Francisco, the Village at Hidden Brook, a Thomas Kincaid Painter of Light community. And why last spring he published a novel, written with a co-author, called Cape Light, most emphatically not to be confused with the photographer Joel Meyerowitz's magnificent book of the same name. Like his paintings, Kincaid's novel makes my teeth hurt. Imagine a book for slow 12-year-olds written by the Simpsons' goody-goody neighbor Ned Flanders. As the critic Laura Miller of Salon.com said in her review, Cape Light has the blandness of foods prepared for invalids whose stomachs can't tolerate too much excitement or variety. Painting, real estate, now fiction, where will it all end? Maybe starting right now. The book, Cape Light, was a bomb. Its Amazon.com sales rank, just a few months after publication, was down to a low, low 51,198 as of last week. And Kincaid's company, the Media Arts Group, seems to be tanking too. It has now been unprofitable for a whole year and lost 94% of its market value. For me, those are the messages of hope. This is Kurt Anderson in Studio 360.